The following program, Where Are They Now? With Art and Bobby, is sponsored by Arthur Andros and, to the extent applicable, his guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio Company or its management.
Nearly 3,000 beautiful lives taken from us so cruelly, including 184 men, women, and children here, the youngest just 3 years old. And yet you, the survivors and families of 9/11, your steadfast love and faithfulness has been an inspiration to me and to our entire country. Even as you've mourned, you've summoned the strength to carry on. In the names of those you've lost, you've started scholarships and volunteered in your communities and done your best to be a good neighbor and a good friend and a good citizen. And in your grief and grace, you have reminded us that together, there's nothing we Americans cannot overcome. E pluribus unum. Out of many, we are one. For we know that our diversity, our patchwork heritage, is not a weakness. It is still and always will be one of our greatest strengths. In the end, the most enduring memorial to those we lost is ensuring the America that we continue to be, that we stay true to ourselves, that we stay true to what's best in us, that we do not let others divide us. May God bless the memory of the loved ones here and across the country. They remain in our hearts today. May He watch over these faithful families and all who protect us. And may God forever bless the United States of America.
Good morning, Bobby. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our show, Where Are They Now? On this solemn day, 9/11. How are you, Artie?
Good. Do you remember 20 years ago? Give everybody the number, because we want to hear from you all today. Do you remember where you were 20 years ago at 8:46 Eastern Time, which was 7:46 here in Chicago? I remember. Bobby, we're going to ask you. Give them out our phone number, and we'll go from there.
Listeners, please call us at 773-763-9278. Let us know where you were 20 years ago when this horrible, horrific incident happened. Again, 773-763-9278. Please call us. Artie?
I'm here. Yeah, we had a caller, but we lost them, but they'll be back. Call us back at 773-763-9278. Well, Bobby, where were you 20 years ago today? Were you still on the force?
Yeah, I was working for Chicago then. I was at home with my mom and dad, and we saw it on TV, and we were just in, couldn't believe it. It was, you know, unbelievable. One incident after another.
Yeah, it was tragic, sad. I can start. I got in the car. I was at aviation then. I worked at the airport. And I got in the car with a good friend of mine, Frank. And we turned on the radio, and we heard that. And we're like, oh, my God, what happened? We drive to our office, which was in Terminal 2. We would park in the parking garage and go over to Terminal 2, go through security. Ran upstairs. Our boss and good friend John was there, and Dennis turned on, they had the TV on, and we're watching a replay, we thought. We're like, oh, my God, look at that. They're showing a replay.
It was unbelievable.
It was the second plane that was hitting. It was just a total, total, you want to say, I don't want to say a blank memory, because I can remember everything, because it was just, we've never run into anything like that, that I have personally. I mean, I don't know about you. You were on the force, but.
No, I've never seen anything like that in my life. It was just it was so unbelievable. I get choked up talking about it.
I absolutely. That's why we played President Obama today. We didn't play our regular opening because it's a sad day. I was watching it this morning in the names, and I think it was almost 3,000 people and a whole shift of firemen gone, police.
Civilian.
Yeah. We reached out to Carol Marine, and we were going to record something, but with the crazy week, Carol was saved by a fireman out there. She was out there in the middle and running down the street as I read the article, and a fireman pulled her over and, like, kind of covered her up, so the ashes and stuff. And to this day, she says, I wish I would have got that fireman's name. So if anybody knows that fireman, call us, email us, so we can get that information to Carol Marine, because she really wants to know who that fireman was. But call us at 773-763-9278 and tell us 20 years ago, where were you? What do you remember?
Where were you? And if you were involved with any of the incidents, we'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, I mean, being at O'Hare, I got a call, and I was told that one of those planes allegedly was coming to hit the Sears Tower. And I know, thank God it didn't, but boy, we were at the airport. Yeah.
It was an orchestrated event, how they had all those targets set and everything. They must have worked on that. The terrorists for years to put something like that together.
Absolutely. We were at the airport to midnight, a little past midnight, because they grounded every plane, I would say, in the world. I'm almost positive. If somebody knows different, call me. But the last plane, I think, landed in Canada or Nova Scotia or wherever that is. And we were relieved that every plane had landed safely.
I'm sorry, Artie.
That's okay. That's okay. Every plane landed safely, and that next week was unbelievable. I mean, this morning I went onto the balcony to water the plants, and I heard the planes were up by the planes, and I remember the day after, sitting in the backyard, and you could hear no planes, because I lived in a neighborhood over in Sauganash, and there was no planes. It was silent for about a week, and that was another memory that I have at that time. Never to hear a plane go over your head, you know. This morning I heard one, I was like, oh, wow, I remember when there was no planes that week, you know. Lost a lot of people. Go ahead, Bobby.
I said, that was crazy, Artie. There were no planes in the sky for over a week.
Over a week. It really was. I also, let me grab something here, because I was reading and I saw, let me grab here. I got Carol stuff. Let's see if there's anything more on Carol. And Carol's offered to come back and talk. She's going to come on, and we're going to interview her because she's also teaching at DePaul University. But I got Carol stuff over there. Let me grab.
What an amazing journalist. Carol Marine is. I met her through Chicago Police. A tremendous person and a friend to everyone, especially fire and police.
Wow. I'm getting a couple of texts here. Hang on here. One is, they say that Seth MacFarlane, creator of Family Guy and American Dad, was supposed to be on one of those planes, and he missed his flight, and he was very upset with his manager, but I think you should thank him dearly, because he didn't get on that flight, and he survived, and it's history, right? You know?
Yes. Yes.
Also, I got another one. There was a young man, which is a blogger. His name is Casey. He had just moved to New York. His apartment was destroyed, you know, and he tried to get in. He couldn't get in to get his stuff, and he put on a hard hat and got some valuables and got out of there. So what another amazing story, huh?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean,
it's absolutely unbelievable.
Here's another one. I had a job opportunity to start right after Labor Day, but I turned it down. I would have been working at the Twin Towers. Wow. What a lucky guy, huh?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know.
Yeah. Some people were getting on those planes, too, and then their flight was canceled.
Yeah.
They were so low, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here, hang on. How many can say they haven't forgot? Call us, 773-763-9278. I've never forgot. You've never forgot, Bobby. Thank God I didn't lose any family or personal, but we lost, firemen, policemen out there. And I understand there was firemen that went from here, and since then, some of them have passed away from cancer. I don't know if that was from that, but I read the stories. Do you know anything about that, Bobby?
I heard that the ones that responded to the New York incident, they had lung cancer, and they passed away.
Wow. Wow.
Such a tragic thing.
Right. From the ashes, I saw yesterday and this morning St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Church, the only church that got destroyed because it was right next to the Twin Towers, was the lights went on, and it was they'll be open next year. The old St. Nick's was the only religious building destroyed, and I think we got a caller. Hang on here. Good morning. Who do we have on the line?
The airplane.
Roosevelt, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good. Tell us about, tell Bobby and I how, what you remember from 20 years ago.
Okay. I do remember being shocked. I mean, I couldn't know, but I don't think anybody in this whole United States believed what was happening. But I would like to make a correction if you guys don't mind.
Oh, and please.
You could correct me right back if you know any different than what I'm going to
No,
say
go
right
ahead.
Now.
Tell us.
Within a few days, three airplanes left the United States. Osama bin Laden's brother was in New York having a meeting because the bin Laden family knows and knew for years the Bush family. They're both rich families. Okay, so within a few days, there were airplanes. Three airplanes left with Osama bin Laden's entourage, secretaries, you name it, and not a single investigation was made. You can check it out. It's on the internet.
Roosevelt, I believe you. I mean, I'm not an aviation expert, and I'm not with the FAA. I don't know if they got permission for those planes to take off
No.
What an interesting story.
Yeah, that was the orders of Bush, because remember, Bush was the president.
Mm.
He gave them. He was the one that stopped what you said, meaning he stopped all flights in the United States.
Correct.
His own father wanted to fly, old man Bush, and he didn't let his own father. However, he did let those three airplanes leave.
Wow.
You know, because like I said, the Osama bin Laden family, that's why we are in the mess that we're in. He wasn't going to find Osama bin Laden because he attacked Iraq and Afghanistan. And by the way, Bobby, there were 15 guys on those airplanes. They were Arabs. Mm-hmm. And none of them were from Afghanistan or Iraq. And we attacked both countries. I mean, Bush attacked both countries.
Wow. Well, Roosevelt, thank you for that information. I never knew that. And thank you. And be safe. And God bless you.
Thank you, guys. Have a nice day.
Okay.
Your family. Thank you for calling in.
Wow. That is amazing. I don't know. I see. That's Bobby flashing. I'm looking over here to the left. Yeah, that's interesting to hear that those three planes took off. Wow. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Wow.
Yeah. So that St. Nicholas Church, they lost people. There was a young lady I heard. She would stop there every day and light a candle, and she was in one of those Twin Towers and a bond trader.
Wow.
It's just, you know. You know,
all the fire and police and emergency workers that worked on the scenes of those horrific tragedies. It's really something, Ari.
Right. And we cannot forget the plane that hit the Pentagon, too, outside Washington, D.C. And
What about that aircraft that went down? The people on the plane, they were able to divert the aircraft to a field so it didn't crash into the Pentagon, I think it was, or the White House.
I think it was going to the White House. You're right, Bobby. And passengers were heroes. They took that plane down and saved many, many lives, because there's a lot of people we know work in the White House. As I was reminded watching a special, the president was in the air for hours, and on that thing they said that someone said the next target is Angel. And they said, how do they know that the code word for the president's plane is Angel? So to this day, was there an insider? We don't know. But, we all know they call him POTUS, President of the United States. But nobody knew his plane was called the Angel. So amazing, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm sure they have code names for everything,
That's it. It's just... You sit here and you try to remember and listen. And Devin, how old were you when this happened?
I was in third grade.
Third grade. Do you remember anything at school? Did they let you go home early?
No, I remember the teacher pulls aside and kind of pretty much after recess, teacher pulls all and kind of started telling us, in the most very watered down version what just happened. So.
Hmm. Wow.
Wow. That's something, huh?
Wow. Were you, Bobby, were you then working long shifts after 9/11? Yeah. Were all days off canceled?
Yeah, all days off canceled. We were on 12-hour shifts. I was detailed to the Sears Tower.
Oh.
I told my sergeant I wanted to be on the perimeter security. I really didn't want to be in the Sears Tower.
Well, you're being honest. You just saw two towers come down,
I was detailed on the perimeter, but it was so frightening. To this day, it gives me the chills thinking about that and all the poor people that died. I'm afraid, Ari, that something bad's going to happen again now.
I hope, that we don't, but you don't know, Bobby, you're right. You don't know.
Something was going to happen, but you just never know. And, people let their guard down. You got to be mindful of your surroundings and what's around you and so on and so forth. No, you can't take anything for granted.
No, you're absolutely right. And hang on, I got some safety tips here that I saw. Let me pull that out. But it's just...
Listen, it's at 773-763-9278. If you'd like to express your feelings or you have any thoughts where you were on 911 20 years ago, we would enjoy hearing from you.
Yeah, we hope you didn't lose a loved one, but if you did, please call us. Let's see. The 9/11 safety and health lessons learned. Let's see. Get the facts straight. Lesson number one. That's important, right?
Yes.
Yeah, let's see here. Provide PPE and training. I don't think a lot of us knew about masks and all that. I know they say COVID, but I think that was long before COVID with the masks and training and safety gear and all that. I've had some OSHA classes. You guys probably had that in the trunk of your police vehicles, huh, Bobby?
Yeah, gas masks, in our tactical squad, but some of them didn't even work, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
It was so crazy. Oh, my God. Something happened here. Chicago, but those poor cities that had incidents, you know.
Worry about the worker, yeah, to this day, you know. Bobby, I am now on the second floor, but when I went downtown after 9/11, I was on the 37th floor. And if you ever come to my office, right behind the door, I have a bag with, like, a flashlight, some aspirins, different little kit stuff, a knife. Mm-hmm. When you're on the 37th floor and you had to get out, I would grab that bag and go, you know. Call it a security blanket. Call it whatever. But you need to be ready at home.
Yeah, ready. That's a good idea, Artie, that you have that.
Yeah.
Especially if what, you know.
Right. And I know people.
Different things like that. Flashlight, knife.
Yeah. I mean, people will do a show about safety at home, too, and fires and routes and all that. But you got to be prepared because you don't know when.
God forbid. Anything could happen. You know, you should really have, for our listeners, have food, have canned goods in your garage, some canned goods in case anything does happen.
Water.
Flashlight, battery, some water.
Right.
You know, make a safety kit and have food available in case anything does ever happen. You know, you're prepared.
Right.
You know, canned goods are good to have and, you know, stock up on bottled water because...
Yeah.
Water will not be available, nor will food. And, you know, you need to have the essentials to survive, you know.
Yeah. Here's the lesson. No excuses. Don't say, well, I'll run to the CVS or Walgreens or, and you guys can be our sponsors, you know. But you got to be prepared. You got to have a little water, this, that.
Absolutely.
Your medicine if you take it.
A couple of cases of water and, like I said, some canned goods. Because the electricity will be out, so anything you have in the refrigerator, once you open the refrigerator, it's shot, you know.
Right.
So you should have it. The Red Cross, you could purchase a kit from the American Red Cross.
Oh, yeah.
You can get one for $50. I have one in our home. It's a good thing to have.
And that's a great organization, Bobby. You do a lot of volunteering there. I mean, how does somebody get involved with that?
Yeah, I've been a volunteer for over 40 years. I started in disaster services, and then I went to different units, all volunteer positions. Now I volunteer for the blood. I'm a blood ambassador. A nice change from disaster services, but the Red Cross, please, listeners, if you have any extra money, give it to the Red Cross. They really do a lot of good for everybody, you know, for every organization. You know, they get money from the United Way and donations, but with all the disasters and all the flooding and the hurricanes, I mean, guess who's out there? The Red Cross. They're there no matter what. So it's a good organization, and please donate to the Red Cross, you know.
I know they even pull up with a bus if there's a fire or something, and they're out there. I mean, you know.
Clothing to the fire victims. I mean, when you lose everything already, you know, and sometimes they lose their loved ones, too. But where do you go? You know, so the Red Cross, they take care of you. You know, they come out to the scene. They'll give you a disbursement for food, clothing. They'll pay your hotel. I mean, it's so sad. It's tragic that people lose everything, you know.
It is.
Fires. People don't have smoke detectors. They had a program where they gave out smoke detectors for free, the Red Cross.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, you have to be prepared for, you know, things like that. We live now in a home where we have a sprinkler system, which anything that's built after, I think it was 2015, you know, has a sprinkler in it now in the village of Glenview.
Ah.
But I mean, so many people that don't even have smoke detectors already.
Oh, I know. And you can reach out in the Chicago Fire Department. Dial 311 and ask them how you can get, you know, if you can't afford to get a smoke detector. And importantly, get a fire extinguisher at home and make sure you talk to the wherever you're buying it because they have fire extinguishers for your computers. We all have these computers and electrical, and it's a special one for that. And for a fire or if you burn something on the stove, that's a different type of fire extinguisher. Have one in the kitchen because it's very, very important. You could put something out immediately instead of God forbid, burning the house down.
Yeah, that's a good point, Ari. Grease fires take a different type of a fire extinguisher.
Right, right. I mean, you know.
And always call 911. Don't be a firefighter yourself. Call 911, and then if you can put it out, get everyone out of the house, including your pets. You know, call the fire department. That's what they get paid for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't worry about the pictures of you and, you know, your aunt. I mean, yes, it's important, but your life is more important than saving that picture. You know, get out.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, have an evacuation plan is critical. Maybe you get one of those fire boxes and you can put some stuff in there and have it near front door, back door, wherever you think you're going to get out, or somewhere where you could grab it. If you are worried about things like that, some documents, so you could just grab it and go if you remember. But please, don't go back into a burning house or whatever to get,
Go back. Just call the fire department right away.
Right.
Immediately.
Right. Yeah. All right. You know.
Don't try to be the fire
department. Right. Bobby, give out the number before we go to commercial, and we want to hear from people where they were 20 years ago.
763-9278. Let us know where you were 20 years ago and any of your thoughts, and we'd love to hear from you.
763-9278. You're crackling a little bit there. Are you in the car, baby? Where are you going?
No, I'm back in my room.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll be right back.
Accomplished realtor Jenna Moreau would love to talk to you about your next move. Jenna represents both buyers and sellers and is a part of At Properties team. The housing market is experiencing a great deal of activity due to the lowest interest rate in years. So whether you are looking, listing, or lending, or just learning, give Jenna a call today at 773-320-9985 or email her at jennamoreau@properties.com to help you with your next move. Thank you.
Teach your students the joys of science with Denoyer Geppert. We're the USA's leading manufacturer of anatomical models for education, with a number of our products on display at the Made in Chicago Museum. From autographed anatomy to zoology models, we have something for all ages. Place an order online today at denoyer.com.
Abbott Painting. Painting and decorating since 1973. Abbott Painting specializes in commercial, industrial, and residential properties. Abbott Painting is a licensed general contractor. Whether it's a wall, ceiling, floor, cabinet, tower, deck, fence, or anything you can imagine, Abbott Painting, with their 48 years of experience, applies premium paint finishes or wall coverings that will exceed your expectations. Call Abbott Painting and mention this ad for a 10% discount. For your free estimate, call 773-725-9800. Again, that's 773-725-9800. Thank you.
Where are they now with Art and Bobby?
Welcome to Where Are They Now. My name is Art. We got Bobby here. You're saying, what is this, What Are They Now? Well, it's a one-hour weekly talk show. We're going to bring guests. We're going to bring back some of the, I won't use the word old-fashioned, but some of the things we grew up with, some of the people that made the city work.
Tune in to Where Are They Now with Art and Bobby, Saturdays at 10 on WCPT 820 AM.
It's all yours, Bobby.
Welcome back, listeners. On Column Day 911, 20 years ago, where were you at or what were you doing? Please give us a call at 773-763-9278.
Bobby, here's a fact. Nearly one-fifth of the country is too young to remember firsthand the day that this happened. Amazing, huh? One-fifth.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's not that long ago, 20 years. I mean, here's a couple more facts.
That was a well-planned attack on the USA, Artie.
Yes, it was.
Well, That probably took him maybe a couple of years to put something like that together. You know?
Wow.
It's crazy, huh?
I'm crazy.
Afraid something bad happen again. God forbid, but
you got it.
It's a crazy event now, you know?
Okay. We got a caller, Bobby. Who do we got on the phone?
Good morning, Alice. Caller.
Alice?
Alice, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm just having my morning Joe. Yeah, I didn't sleep good last night, so I figured sleep a little longer. But anyway, the reason I'm calling, I do have some memories.
Please tell us.
Yeah, well, one of the memories is, remember they shut down all air traffic everywhere in the U.S.?
Correct.
And the skies were so quiet.
Yeah, absolutely.
They resumed, yes. And then when they resumed, every time I would hear a plane, I would look up to the sky. And I would think, oh, my gosh. It would just bring back that memory of planes wreaking havoc.
Right.
But anyway, I was at work also, and I worked here at a national laboratory just outside of Chicago. And then they announced it over the PA system. And we were all, I'm going to start crying, but.
I know. It's a sad day, you know, and yeah, I mean.
Yeah, we all, you know, left our offices, went out into the halls, and we were just like, oh, what's going on? And we were just so upset. And then at lunchtime, we went to the cafeteria, and they had all the TVs on. And the cafeteria was just loaded with all the employees. We were just watching the screens.
Wow. And right.
All the people there. And if I can, one more thing.
Please.
One of the employees had said he had just taken a vacation, took his son to New York just a few days prior, and they were on top of the World Trade Center.
Wow.
And then it just gives me chills thinking about it. He said, my God, he said, we just missed being killed just by a few days.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But, okay, on a better note, have a good day today.
Well, thank you, and keep remembering that's important.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true.
God bless
have a nice
your
day.
Family.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby, for some of us, if we remember, you probably remember, the only thing that was flying in the Chicagoland area were those big Air Force. And I don't know if they're F-18s or what, but they were flying downtown to protect downtown. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember. They were so loud and noisy.
Right?
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, we got another caller here. Let's see who's on the phone. Good morning. Who do we have on the phone?
Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to share, I remember September 11th very well, but I wanted to make a point that I hope can be understood.
Okay.
I'm in my 60s, and just to give a little background, I'm currently a nurse, but I also have other careers in the past, and at the time of September 11, I was actually a history professor, and I was teaching that morning. But I wanted to make the point that I personally, I don't know if anybody else would agree with me, I personally actually feel, although I'm very still traumatized to this day about September 11, in some ways I'm almost more traumatized by the events of January 6th. And if you could just bear with me for a second, I'm not in any way trying to minimize the horror of September 11th, but some of the points I'd like to make, what traumatizes me even more about January 6th is that it was our own people, whereas September 11th was outsiders that did this. Also, the results of January 6th have greatly, greatly continued to divide our own people, our own country, whereas I feel like after September 11, we were more united, you know, than we had ever been. The other thing about January 6th, if that gives me, you know, literally the chills, trauma, is, you know, for September 11, we were still somewhat relatively naive as a country. You know, we weren't fully prepared for you know, a travesty. But now, 20 years later, we're that much wiser and aware of possibilities, but yet the thought that January 6th could occur, I just find that very chilling. And then finally, again, as someone, I've got a legal background and I was a history professor, I think another point I'd like to make is that I truly, to this day, feel like January 6th continues to be a threat to our very system of democracy. And if you listen to some experts like Tom Hartman and others, they truly feel like our democracy is at stake by people, you know, that are of that ilk, of the perpetrators of January 6th. Whereas I didn't really feel after September 11, as horrible as that was, I did not have the feeling that our very system of democracy and democratic principles were at stake. So I don't know if anyone out there agrees with me. Both situations, September 11 was truly, truly horrific, but I am also very traumatized by January 6th. That's the point I wanted to make.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and we understand what you're saying. And if anybody else, call us at 773-763-9278 and give us your opinion. Bobby, I got a couple quick facts here that, you know, they're not good facts, but they're facts. 2,801 people killed in New York. 29 million square feet damaged or destroyed. New York City Emergency Operations Center destroyed. 125,000 workers displaced in New York City. Subway destroyed by beams from the World Trade Center. PATH World Trade Center station partially collapsed. 350,000 passengers initially displaced. 1.9 billion in telecommunication infrastructure destroyed. Cell traffic to 10 cell sites interrupted. 2 substations and local distribution, local power grids, service disrupted for 12,000 customers. Now, this is just New York. It's amazing what, you know, a couple of people sitting somewhere planning this, you know, did to us and can do to us again, like you said, Bobby. You know?
Yeah, I'm afraid. You know, we're more prepared now than we were then, of course, but still.
Right.
And constantly on everyone's mind, you know, something can happen again. And you can't put that against those people. I mean, they're unpredictable. So
you just
have to be prepared.
Yeah.
You know?
I think what do they say? If you see something, call someone, or how do they say that, Bobby? You know that saying? You know, if you see something different.
Yeah. Call 911.
911. You see a bag laying there and nobody around? Don't go pick it up. Call 911. You see something? I mean, you know, it's hard. But, okay, we don't want to get to a point where we start saying, oh, that person with the hood and this. But if you see objects, if you see things, if you see an automobile running and nobody in there, pick up the phone. I mean, it could be, you know, it could be somebody lazy and left their air conditioning on. But you know what? That's why police and fire will come out and take a look at it and say, you know, you're not going to get an award, you know, but, you know, if you see something, say something. I think that's what it is.
If you see a pet in the car with the windows rolled up, call 911.
Oh, definitely for that one. But
yeah, anything suspicious, like Artie said, a car running, or if you're on the L, you see a package, unattended package, you know, call the police, you know. Don't be a hero and pick it up yourself. You don't know what's in there, if it's ticking or whatever, you know?
Right. Remember those passengers on that plane. They did something and they took it down. Yeah. It could have hit the White House. It could have hit something else.
Yeah. All those were heroes, and all the fire and police and the passengers on that plane, they were the real heroes. I heard on the news the other day, the Air National Guard, they were going to ram the plane. And they said that they were prepared to give their lives. you know, the Air National Guard.
I saw that, and they had no missiles or anything, and the one pilot was going to hit the front, and the other one was going to hit the tail. Amazing, you know. We got a caller. Good morning. Who's on the phone?
Oh, hey, my name is Vicki.
Hello, Vicki. How are you? Thank you for calling. What do you remember from this day 20 years ago?
Well, it's a little bit after this day, but not by very much. And what I remember from this day is what a friend said, put it better than I could. When this happened and we saw it, we all knew nothing would ever be the same in this country after that event. And like one simple thing that's a very Chicago thing, I had to do some work downtown. I'm out in the suburbs and the train schedule wasn't convenient. I had to drive down and you're looking for free parking even back then if you're like me and you're a working person. And there were some places in the West Loop you could park and, you know, the whole street would be full of cars parked, you know, looking for the free parking maybe for part of the day, maybe for all of the day. And the thing was, I came back and my car was gone. And I'm like, somebody stole my car. But all the other cars were still there on the street. And my car is like a cheap old thing, so I didn't understand. I called 911. They're like, oh, no, your car's been towed. And what it was, never mind the hassle of what that means in Chicago, but where I was parked, like my front end of my vehicle was under one of the underpasses, you know, the numerous underpasses all over the city that you don't even think about. And it was a 9/11 thing that you couldn't, you know, that was seen as a terrorist threat, like you were talking about if you see a car unattended running or something like that. And so they thought of it as, you know, if there's a car there, you know, there could be a bomb in it, like I'm trying to blow up the bridge or something.
Wow.
But, you know, it's just that those kind of little things, how our lives has been affected that we don't even think about anymore. Like, don't park under a bridge of any kind of underpass, whatever. Don't park under there because you might get towed, basically.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
I wasn't aware of that, you know.
Right. I wasn't aware of that either, you know, that did that and do that.
It's a silly thing for a serious day, you know.
Well, thank you. Have a blessed day, and you know.
Yeah, thank you for calling in.
And be safe.
Yes, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. Like we say, Bobby, things have changed.
Oh, wow.
Just think about the traveling. Yeah, hang on. We got another caller, and then we're going to talk about Homeland Security and TSA. Who's on the phone?
Good morning,
hey,
caller.
This is Costa. How are you guys?
Costa, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. You know, it's just getting beautiful day today, kind of like, there's a lot of Greek tests going on. There's other things going on. You know, watch COVID, and we have to pay our big respects for the remembering 9/11. I think that's one of the most important things for the day.
What do you remember 20 years ago on this day?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I happened to be in Greece, and I was in my home, in my dad's home, watching TV, having a cup of coffee with one of my cousins. So that was, I remember the details. And as I'm sitting across, I make a cup of coffee. We had this little small TV set. And I'm seeing something go across the TV into a tower. And I'm thinking, it must be a movie. It must be an American movie. I've never seen that movie before. Which movie is this? Then I'm watching it, and it was the news. And it was showcasing what was going on in terms of with the Twin Towers. And I just remember that moment and clearly. And it was shocking to me. It was sad to me. And then I'm a very proud Greek. However, there are people around me that just didn't have the same sympathy. Because it happened to America, and they said, let's remove the American element. These are people.
Oh.
Ours.
Yes.
Yep. And I remember going to my color printer and printing my American flag along with my Greek flag. And like, this is who I am. This is what it's about. It's not about America or not America, but it really drove me. And I heard things in town, and I felt like they need to understand. And it's nothing to do about any particular country. These are human beings, and it really brought this patriotism. It could have been any country. Could have been attacked. I don't care. I would have been sympathetic to any country. But
of course,
I just felt it was a little. But it was very distinct. And of course, I became. And so I became like a teaching tool. Like, forget about where it happened. Just remember that it happened, and people's lives are lost. And let's pray for those individuals. Let's pray. I mean, think about firefighters, first responders, who their job is first responders. You go in where the need is needed, and all of a sudden, they're in the middle of everything, not knowing that the towers were going to collapse. And yet they did their work. It's just amazing. That's why it's hard for me. I'll never forget that.
Absolutely. I mean, I was watching and I saw a police officer, and he went in once, took one person out, went back in, took a second person out, and then the third picture, he never came out, and they were showing his coffin, and he was doing his job. He kept going in and out. I mean, he could have walked out with the first one and said, oh, I'm a hero. But no, they don't think that. They go in there to try to get everybody out.
We can correlate that to what's happening today with COVID. You think my friends in the hospitals, doctors, nurses, PCT, respiratory therapists, they are in it. More people keep coming, and they're doing their work.
Absolutely.
And yeah, they're arrows. Yeah.
Right.
So this is what we do. It's like being in a Greek fest. People come at you, and you're like, oh, my God, do not leave your position. Stay in your position. Keep cutting onions. Keep cutting tomatoes. Keep cooking souvlaki. You don't leave your position. Don't get overwhelmed. We're here to do our work. It's a common thread of life.
Absolutely. I see you were at St. George last night having some wonderful time with Sophia and the gang. Did you have some lucumadas? I mean, I know it's September 11th, but we gotta laugh once in a while.
Yeah, you know what? It's really striking. Kudos to all the people who are volunteering, the people who are doing all the work. It's a lot of work. And part of me went, it was more support to Father Chris Santos, to the furious people. But I couldn't get myself to, like, totally be absorbed in the, call it the happy, fun, because when you have people who are sick, when you have people during this pandemic, we got September 11th, you kind of, and in the rest of the world, there are people lined up trying to find a way to get a shot, a vaccine shot. Here at St. George, outside the tent, they had a tent to give free vaccine.
Oh, beautiful.
As you walk in, imagine the rest of the world can't get them. And here you go in for a lucumades and a souvlaki and a shot.
There we go.
Trifecta.
Hey, you know, it's important, you know, to get your vaccine. And Bobby and I are planning when we're going to get our boosters, you know, because that's next, you know. Right.
Everybody needs to get their vaccine.
Costa, before you go, I have one question. When you came back from Greece after 9/11, how was it traveling? Was it tighter security? Was there much changes right away?
Yes. But I'll tell you, it was very profound for me.
Okay.
So I'm in Greece, trying to grasp this aspect of why do people have this sentiment towards elements of the U.S. And then not just in Greece, but in other parts of Europe. And then I fly into O'Hare. I'm in Terminal 5, which is the international flight, right? And as the doors open, and I'm looking at all the employees, and you see the most diverse cultural location in this country, in this world. And like, you know what? The fact that we in the U.S., in Chicago, can work with all these different cultures, all these different people, all these different countries that will work next to each other. The Greeks fight among Greeks in Greece.
So
when that door opened, I'm like, wow, I live in a country, and no matter what your religion, no matter what your culture, no matter what your color, we respect each other, and we care for each other.
We do.
And that was the most profound thing, that when I touched down and the doors opened at O'Hare, I'm like, oh, my goodness. I came from a country, they can't even get along with each other. 10 million people, and they can't get along.
Wow.
Travel has changed forever because of that 911.
It has. I'm on the United Airlines Advisory Board for Travel with Disabilities. I think with everything the TSA is doing, and mind you, I've been through TSA, one of their locations in Washington, D.C., and I had a chance to talk to some of their leaders, and they said, I know some people get frustrated that it's not the same way every time, but let's face it, we have people that watch us. We have people who are trying to do something bad, and they watch for certain rhythm and certain things that are done the same. And unfortunately, they look for some weakness, a situation where they can do us harm. So, next time you go through a TSA, big deal. You got to take your shoe off. You got to spend a little more time. Get there earlier.
For your safety.
Don't by Starbucks and get a coffee.
Right.
Go. And for your safety. Well, I mean, my goodness. We have things in this world for safety measures for all of us. Appreciate it.
Right. Oh, you got to throw out that water. All right. Get another water on the other side. That's okay. It's a bottle of water. You know. Absolutely.
What puzzles me, there are people show up with 2 gallons of soap, liquid shampoo.
You're right.
It's been 20 years. You cannot bring 2 gallons of shampoo.
Costa, we're going to cut you short. We got one more caller, and then we're going to run out of time. We love you. Be safe. And Don, good morning.
God bless. Thanks for calling in.
Welcome, Don. How are you?
Good. I know we're going to run out of time, and I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
My workout night. I want to make sure I got time to call in.
Tell us where you were 20 years ago.
On the scene today?
Where were you 20 years ago today?
Today, 20 years ago, I was getting an elevator. I was going into Terminal 2, and somebody said to me, a small plane hit one of the towers. And I was like, okay, it was probably a small plane that, got misguided or whatever, hit the towers. And obviously, we know that wasn't true. It was a jetliner full of fuel. And then we waited in Terminal 2 where we worked back then. And then we, everybody evacuated. And it was kind of very weird and eerie to work in the terminal those days because the terminal was empty. There was nobody. I mean, the airline business was totally shut down, and
Bobby, say goodbye. Thank you to our sponsors. Bobby, anything else before we go?
No, I want to thank our sponsors, Abbott Painting,
Denora Gipper.
Yep. Also, Windy City Sweets, 3108 North Broadway. Excellent candy, chocolates, also ice cream. Please visit them. John Manchester, the owner. They'll have a treat for you.
All right, be safe. We're playing this Taps for all the memories of all the souls we've lost. God bless you. We'll talk to you next week.